and the Annie E. Casey Foundation.
Good morning. Welcome to Radioactivity. I'm Rob Lori. Well, coming up, imagine a tiny killer drone, smaller than a butterfly, able to fly almost anywhere, to assassinate human beings, either one by one or in the thousands. Our first guest today says such drones could be built in the next few years if countries don't ban the research and development. We'll talk about that first, and later we'll open the phone lines, but first, two listener comments that came in after yesterday's program. Yesterday, we spent the whole hour talking with a spokesperson for the progressive group Progress Florida. He was Ray Seaman, on how in the last 7 years, wages, education, health care, and environmental protection have gotten worse here in Florida, according to the group. Here's what two listeners had to say following yesterday's program.
This is Elizabeth, and it's about the Ray Seaman interview of Progressive Florida. I thought that interview was really great, and Ray Seaman was calm, composed, collected, and full of excellent information. What I wonder is, why are Democrats unable to get their message across? I would like to ask Ray Seaman what he thought about that. Why do we keep losing when we're what everyone wants or something? Not everyone, and we don't always lose, but I just don't understand why the powers that be, well, never mind, I know it's money, but something to do with the message. There's something wrong with the way Democrats are putting out their message.
Yes, hi. I was told that you're the person I need to speak to. Just wanted to let you know that I love your music you guys play. It's the best music out there. Only thing is that I'm a Republican. So I'm constantly feeling, you know, the hatred, you know, and the people calling in and then whoever's reporting the news. And it's obviously very slanted. I mean, you guys say that you give the straight news, but let's be real. I mean, come on. You obviously hate Republicans, okay? And I feel very alienated when I'm trying to listen to your station. I want to leave it on there, but I'm constantly having to take it off because I don't want that negativity. I mean, I listen to the radio for music, you know? So I'm just wondering why you guys do that. Thank you so much.
Well, there were a couple listener comments that came in after yesterday's program. There's a new 7-minute film out depicting a powerful new weapon that's under development. Killer drones, smaller than a monarch butterfly. They're autonomous. They have facial recognition, could carry explosives, and which can evade capture. The film about these drones is called Slaughterbots, so we're going to post a link on our website this afternoon. We're going to listen to part of the film and then speak with an activist who is part of a group trying to stop the creation of these tiny flying weapons, trying to stop them from ever being built by any government around the world.
The nation is still recovering from yesterday's incident, which officials are describing as some kind of automated attack, which killed 11 U.S. senators at the Capitol building.
They flew in from everywhere, but attacked just one side of the aisle. It was chaos. People were screaming.
You can see high windows, very small, precisely punctured to gain entry to the building.
What did you do for the victim?
I just did what I could for him. Things weren't even interested in me. They're just buzzing.
Government sources admit the intelligence community has no idea who perpetrated the attack, nor whether it was a state, group, or even a single individual.
Well, that's from the new film Slaughterbots, which portrays an attack on the U.S. Senate. And we're joined now by Ariel Khan, who's the director of media and outreach for the Future of Life Institute, a group that is behind this film Slaughterbots. Ariel, welcome to WMNF. Good to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
That's a pretty scary opening to your film. It depicts an attack on the U.S. Senate by something that the film calls Slaughterbots. What are Slaughterbots?
So Slaughterbots are basically mini drones that are powered by artificial intelligence. So they are able to identify, track, lock onto targets, and kill the target without human intervention or any type of human command or control.
How big are they?
They're very small. If you watch the video, you'll see that they can fit in the palm of your hand. I mean, they're about the size of the mini toy drones that you can find in stores today.
Now, why did you make the film?
Stuart Russell is an AI researcher, and he's sort of the brainchild behind this. And he's been studying artificial intelligence for at least a couple decades now. He and a colleague of his literally wrote the book that anyone who studies AI research reads. So he knows a lot about this, and he's been worried about the direction that artificial intelligence is taking as far as autonomous weapons go. We seem to be moving towards less and less what they call human in the loop with the potential for these weapons. And we're not there yet, but we're seeing technology move in that direction.
So you mentioned Stuart Russell, who's a computer science professor at UC Berkeley. I want to play another segment of this film. And it shows a guy who reminds me of Steve Jobs. He's standing up in front of a giant screen in front of an audience, and he's demonstrating the new product, these new small drones that don't need to be controlled by humans. Let's just listen to a little bit more of the film, Slaughterbots.
Okay.
Inside here is 3 grams of shaped explosive. This is how it works. Did you see that? That little bang is enough to penetrate the skull and destroy the contents.
Well, the film shows this tiny drone landing on the head of a human-like figure. It's not an alive figure. It's a mannequin. And it explodes the head with this 3 grams of explosive. Right at the center of the forehead, it explodes and drives the explosion into the brain of this mannequin. Is this possible?
So the technology doesn't exist today. We created this based on our understanding of what is possible, though.
Now, these drones are self-directed. They have facial identification recognition. They can seek out specific people. In that first clip that we played, they were seeking out members of the U.S. Senate, apparently of only one party, to murder.
Yep. Well, and I don't know if you'll share any further clips, but later in the film, they also target based on how people use social media.
Yeah, we're going to play that in a sec. So these drones, I mean, essentially, if there's a way to get into a building through the air, they could get into a building through the air.
Yes. In our video, we also have them set up so that there's sort of a small little mothership, if you will, that can carry 18 of these mini drones, mini slaughterbots, and this larger vehicle can blow through walls of pretty much any type of wall, regardless of what it's made of. And then from that, the smaller slaughterbots can get into the building as well. And I'd also like to add that this was sort of one version of what we think could happen, but we're by no means limited to the technologies that are shown in this video.
We're talking with Ariel Khan, who's Director of Media and Outreach for the Future of Life Institute, about a new film called Slaughterbots, which depicts tiny autonomous drones that are able to assassinate people. They're autonomous, so once they fly away from their maker and are given their mission, they can kill anybody that they're directed to kill. It's quite an amazing film. Tell us about the Future of Life Institute. What's the purpose of your group?
So our goal is to mitigate existential risks. We're trying to figure out how to make sure that as we continue to develop technology and looking back at some of what we've already developed, how can we make sure that it is benefiting all of humanity and that we don't basically accidentally destroy each other with it. So artificial intelligence is an area that we look at. Nuclear weapons are another area that we look at. We do a little bit with biotechnology and climate change. But our goal is to both aim for a better future for humanity and also make sure that we continue to exist.
Ariel, are there any ethical rules by which drone scientists and drone engineers, people that are developing these systems, are there any sort of ethical rules that would prevent them right now from developing autonomous drones that could seek out people using facial recognition and kill them?
I am not aware of anything that's in place right now. That is something that we're working on and quite a few other organizations are working on developing. But I'm not aware of anything that would prevent it today.
I want to play another clip. This is where kids who are, I take it, in Scotland, college kids in Scotland, who are using social media, I guess they're dissident kids or they're kids that maybe are against the government or the dominant paradigm. They're attacked by these autonomous drones. And this is from the film Slaughterbots. Let's listen in.
Let's watch the weapons make the decisions. Now, trust me. These were all bad guys. Now that is an airstrike of surgical precision. It's one of a range of products. Trained as a team, they can penetrate buildings, cars, trains, evade people, bullets, pretty much any countermeasure. They cannot be stopped. Now, I said this was big. Why? Because we are thinking big. Watch. A $25 million order now buys this. Enough to kill half a city. The bad half. Nuclear is obsolete. Take out your entire enemy, virtually risk-free. Just characterize him, release the swarm, and rest easy. These are available today.
All right. Well, that was not the clip I wanted to play, but that's the Steve Jobs figure again in the film Slaughterbots, is showing what these tiny drones of the future are capable of, going after and killing just the bad guys. And I guess, Ariel, the question is, who gets to decide who are the bad guys?
That is the million-dollar question, right? I mean, that's part of what makes these so scary is, it's nice in theory as long as you're on the good side, but there's no way to guarantee which side you're going to end up on compared to who has the capabilities of these weapons.
Do scientists really believe that these new autonomous drones are more powerful, more deadly than nuclear weapons?
I think what makes these weapons so scary is that they're so much easier to use and they're so much easier for more people to get their hands on. It's not that easy to build and launch a nuclear weapon. I mean, I know there are concerns that weapons could fall into the wrong hands, et cetera, but it becomes a lot easier when you have technology like this. In theory, nuclear materials are detectable, whereas all of the technology that exists in these slaughter bots exists on your phone. So there's no real easy way to differentiate. So I don't know that we're worried they'd kill more than a nuclear explosion could, but I think they're more likely to be used.
Ariel, how far away are these autonomous assassination drones? How far away do you think scientists are from being capable of producing them?
I have heard Stuart Russell say that if we really made a push, we could probably do something in about 18 months.
18 months. Wow.
I'm pretty sure that's what he said, but very soon.
Let's go back and hear one more clip from the film, and this is where the dissident students in Scotland, in Edinburgh, Scotland, are attacked by these drones. Well, you can hear in that segment from Slaughterbots the sound of the swarming drones, and then The kid's trying to run away from the drones, and you can hear the explosions as the drones land on the foreheads of the kids that are targeted for assassination, and a desperate mom here in the U.S. trying to call her son over in Europe and trying to reach him and unsuccessfully trying to reach him. Ariel, you're part of a group called Stop Autonomous Weapons. This is a real campaign to stop this from ever becoming a reality. How can people find out more?
So we have a lot of information at autonomousweapons.org, and that's a really good place to start. We've been trying to compile various reports and news that are coming out from different organizations that are trying to address the situation. The Campaign to Stop Killer Robots is another really great resource. I'm not entirely sure if their URL is actually, but if you just do a search for Campaign to Stop Killer Robots, they'll come up. But autonomousweapons.org is a nice, easy one to go to, and we link to them. I would recommend checking that out to start.
And do you have any governments that have endorsed this campaign to stop autonomous weapons, or have any politicians signed on, any scientists? Tell us about who backs this idea to stop technology from going this far.
Yeah, quite a few people. The United Nations met to discuss whether or not they were going to consider negotiating a ban against autonomous weapons in November. And that was what prompted this film. And unfortunately, they didn't do quite as much as we would have hoped. But there are currently 22 countries that would support a ban, and we think that that number is likely to increase. I know of a resolution in San Mateo, California, that one of the local legislators is trying to push through. That did not succeed on the first attempt. But they're still discussing it. And a lot of scientists have come out in opposition to it. We had an open letter that went out in 2015. I don't remember the exact number, but thousands of scientists and artificial intelligence researchers from around the world signed that. It totaled word over 20,000 people, and quite a few of them are scientists and specifically AI researchers. And then this summer, we saw a bunch of AI companies signed an open letter encouraging the UN to ban autonomous weapons, and that includes Elon Musk's organization, that includes DeepMind, which is one of the lead AI organizations that's associated with Google right now, and quite a few other companies. So there are definitely efforts happening around the world to try to get these stopped.
And the scientist Stephen Hawking is on board too.
Yes, he's signed in opposition to those.
Ariel, this is a short film. It's about 7.5 minutes, but it is really well done. Mm-hmm. Who made the film?
I believe the group was called Space Digital.
Well, Ariel, is there anything else that you'd like to point out about your group, the Future of Life Institute, or the other group, Stop Autonomous Weapons? Is there anything else you'd like to point out about the groups or about the film Slaughterbots that maybe a question I should have asked you that I didn't ask?
I don't think so. I think you've asked everything that I would want to cover. The one thing that I would add is that there are organizations like ours and like the Campaign to Stop Killer Robots that are trying to take action to stop these weapons. And the more support we have from everyone, the more likely it is to happen.
Well, Ariel Khan, thank you very much. The Director of Media and Outreach for the Future of Life Institute. Ariel, thank you for coming on WMNF and talking about the film Slaughterbots.
Well, thanks for having me.
And we're going to go out with the words of Stuart Russell, who's a computer science professor at UC Berkeley, who helped produce the video warning people about the dangers of killer smart robots. Here's Professor Russell.
This short film is more than just speculation. It shows the results of integrating and miniaturizing technologies that we already have. I'm Stuart Russell, a professor of computer science at Berkeley. I've worked in AI for more than 35 years. Its potential to benefit humanity is enormous, even in defense. But allowing machines to choose to kill humans will be devastating to our security and freedom. Thousands of my fellow researchers agree. We have an opportunity to prevent the future you just saw, but the window to act is closing fast.
And if you want to see Slaughterbots, you can send me an email, and I'll send you a copy of the film via email. Just send it to dj@wmnf.org. This is Radioactivity on WMNF in Tampa. I'm Rob Lori.
Two little boys were comparing their buttons while they were at play. One boy said, "My button's bigger than yours, and I'll blow you away. How much time will linger? Whose tiny little finger will blow us all away?" Oh, the country's in trouble, I think. We could all be dead in a wink. One tweet from Mar-a-Lago could blow up Chicago. The White House could use a good shrink. It's a geopolitical mess. Whose button is biggest and best? Donald's working the phone while his brain is on loan. He belongs in a home for some rest. Oh, what an embarrassing scene. Over buttons, is this so obscene? Before we're all dead, hide under the bed and have a happy 2018. Wait, there's one more twist. This new book, and it can't be missed, about a bunch of loose cannons and the loosest is Bannon. And Trump said cease and desist. What a happy new year is this. And over at Fox they're all pissed. So now is the time, now is the time, now is the time to resist.
Mark Russell here on Radioactivity on WMNF in Tampa. We're going to open up the phone lines, take your phone calls. Our phone number, 813-239-9663. Email address, dj@wmnf.org. If you want to send an email message into the studio that I will read on the air. Well, in this news that we've been following, the economy. And Walmart just announced today that workers will see a $1 an hour wage increase. The big box retailer announced today it will increase its starting wage rate for hourly employees in the U.S. to $11 an hour and expand maternity and parental leave benefits. Currently, Walmart's starting wage is $9 an hour until workers complete a training program. Then they receive $10 an hour. So it means that Walmart workers will be getting a $1 an hour increase. Walmart will also pay a one-time cash bonus to eligible employees of as much as $1,000. The payouts, which should total roughly $400 million, will result in a one-time charge the company will take in its fiscal fourth quarter. The bonuses will be determined by an employee's length of service. Those workers with more than 20 years of experience will qualify for the complete $1,000. However, workers with less than 2 years experience will receive only $200, according to a Walmart spokesperson. All right, so that really plays into, I think, the president's predictions that wages are going to go up. But what do you think about a $40 a week increase for Walmart workers if they are full time? 813-239-9663. Email address dj@wmnf.org. And this news, the president said he was going to stop this, but this news out of Indianapolis, a new round of layoffs is taking effect this week at the Carrier Corporation at the factory in Indianapolis, a little bit more than a year after President Trump touted a deal that staved off the plant's closure and saved some of its jobs. About 215 people are being let go starting today at Carrier in Indianapolis, leaving about 1,100 workers at the plant, according to the company. That's down from the 1,600 factory office and engineering jobs at the facility when Carrier announced plans in early 2016 to move production to Mexico. So the Carrier factory layoffs there in Indianapolis, a big issue during the campaign. Those layoffs are mounting there in Indianapolis. 813-239-9663 is our phone number. David writes this regarding the caller at the top of the show. One of the callers, David writes, your Republican caller was pretty whiny, writes David. I don't think that's fair, David. But he goes on to say, if she doesn't like the station, then I advise her to not tune in. Says David. Well, okay. David, thanks. Thanks for your email. John writes, who could have imagined that the ultimate defense weapon would be a swarm of autonomous fly swatters? The interesting thing about these killer robots, these flying drones, these assassin drones, the slaughter bots, is that they're autonomous and they are designed to evade capture by anything. They're designed to evade swatting or anything else that's going to stop them. It's a pretty horrifying film. I hope, you know, personally, I hope that these things are never developed because they could fly almost everywhere. 813-239-9663. And let's go to, we're going to go to Jim in Sarasota. First, hi, Jim. You're on WMNF. What would you like to talk about?
Hey, I love the show. Love the show. Drone thing, I'm sure the Pentagon's already come up with that technology for weapons, and they're working on holograms for weapons as well. People think they see a UFO, and it's actually a hologram that they're testing. And there's some conspiracy theorists, wackos, that actually think that the 9/11 was a job from holograms, which is kind of crazy, I know, but that's what some people think. As far as those drones are concerned, just the other day they had a drone attack in Syria on Russia, and they were different kind of drones, and Russia is trying to investigate it. They don't know who or what that came from. So who knows what the Pentagon's doing. But the reason why I called was to make a comment about Trump and Mueller. Mueller wanting to interview him, and Trump will absolutely not be interviewed by Mueller, which is, of course, you know, he's hiding something, and it makes him look like an idiot, you know, not being interviewed by him, because, you know, he should have just fired him. He would have looked better firing him and, you know, saying that that's that's my decision being the president. I mean, he can do that. It would make him look better than not doing the interview, in my opinion. Wouldn't you agree with that?
Well, I'll say this. The president has changed his mind on whether or not he would agree to an interview with Mueller, because this past summer, he said, sure, he would do an interview with Mueller. No problem with that. He won't do it, or it seems unlikely.
I can tell you why on that. The reason why is back then, he thought that he was armor-plated and that he could get away with all of this stuff.
I don't think it would make sense to fire Mueller. If there is something wrong, let's get to the bottom of it. If the president has nothing to worry about, Mueller's going to come up with a clean investigation for Trump.
I totally agree with you. I'm just saying that his strategy, because I know he's guilty, he's a traitor. It's treason to work with an enemy state who tries to undermine us every day. This guy, the Washington Post did a lie analysis on Trump. For the year that he's been in there, he's lied 5.6 times a day.
Yeah, he's reached the 2,000 lie mark. The president has reached the 2,000 lie mark.
I don't understand how Republicans can believe anything he says, whether it's the economic data that they're releasing, his administration, or anything on Russia. How do you... Let me just say, leave with this, okay? Let me leave with this. To any Republicans listening right now, if Mueller finds the smoking gun and catches him, which I guarantee you he's going to, or he's going to release information that shows Trump was lying the whole time and was related to that, would you consider that treason? And if it is considered treason, would you call him a traitor?
All right, Jim, thanks a lot. All right, let's see. Thanks for calling. 813-239-9663 is our phone number. You're listening to WMNF in Tampa. Radioactivity is the program. And let's take some more phone calls. Thanks to James Lyles. He's our phone producer today. We're going to go to Elizabeth in Riverview. Hi, Elizabeth. How are you?
Well, I'm fine. How are you this morning,
Rob? I'm good. I'm good.
Very good. I would like to comment on the caller who did call to complain about what you're saying, and she's a born in the wool or something, a Republican, and can't stand all this business. That's kind of sad, and if you don't hear all sides of something, you can't ever arrive at a conclusion. And even after you hear everybody talk, it's still difficult to come up with what you consider the truth. My best advice to that lady is to go get a copy of President George Washington's farewell address to the nation way back in the 1700s. In that address, he warns against the dangers of separating yourself into this party and that party. It's just, even then, they saw the difficulty with it. And why can't we all just be Americans?
Yeah, well, that's true. Elizabeth, thanks a lot.
Yes, sir.
You know, I didn't play the part where the young woman asked me to call her, so I called her yesterday, and I said, you know, the radio station really doesn't, it's not a Democratic Party radio station. It's not a Republican Party radio station or a Green Party or a Libertarian Party radio station. It's a radio station that's built on ideals. And among those ideals, peace and social justice, concern for the environment, equality and human rights. And those are the ideals that we fight for here every day. And when the Democrats cross the line, as President Obama did by sending drones to five or six different countries and ending up killing civilians, that was pointed out on this radio station. So we have values. We don't have a party here at WMNF. And again, our phone number, 813-239-9663. And you can send your email comment into dj@wmnf.org. Let's go to Rob in Lutz. Hi, Rob. You're on. What would you like to say?
Yes, good morning, Rob, and thank you, Elizabeth, for your wonderful, clear comments again. And, Rob, about that, the same issue that lady who called at the beginning of the show, God bless you for playing her different opinion, and God bless you and WMNF and all your fine staff for becoming a wonderful watchdog for everything that's out there. You're the Rottweilers, the Bulldogs, the Dobies. You are the watchdogs, and that's what it's all about. And I'm a Republican, too, like that lady who called in, but I'm very glad and very grateful for your watchdog stance on all these issues.
Well, Rob, that's very nice of you to say. Rottweilers are not my favorite dog. I love dogs. But I understand what you're saying, so thank you for that. It's very nice.
Yes, it's just, we're just very grateful for all that, and whatever side of the aisle you're on doesn't matter. And Elizabeth is so right. Why can't we just get along? We're all Americans. God bless.
All right, Rob. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Let's go to Gary in Dunedin. Gary, you're on. What would you like to say?
Well, you know, my main comment is going to be about AI and other types of destructive technology. But about that caller, I mean, that is the snowflake mentality. It's kind of ironic that the Trumpsters always say that liberals are the ones who can't handle the truth, can't handle conflicting opinions. But if you call in and say, I don't like hearing the truth about Donald Trump, and then you describe the truth as negative, reminds me of that saying that facts have a liberal bias. I mean, instead of resisting the truth that WMNF brings from statured members of academia and the journalistic community, why don't you readjust your reality testing and recognize that if you support Donald Trump and the GOP, that you're supporting enemies of America? It's pretty obvious. Going to the AI thing, I always say to people, watch the great movie that's titled X-E-X, Machina, M-A-C-H-I-N-A. It shows you that, like that great book, Frankenstein, when humans toy around with creating consciousness, artificial intelligence, and especially when it's all to be weaponized, and given the history of humans, including Stalin and the East German Stasi, and the way that our police agencies use their current technologies to suppress civil disobedience, protesters, anti-establishment persons, you can bet that all of the weaponry, the sci-fi level of weaponry, including these scary little drones, will be one day used if the American people decide that they have to follow Thomas Jefferson's advice and have another revolution.
All right, Gary, thanks a lot. Thanks. I do love Ex Machina. It features Oscar Isaac, who is one of the great actors, I think, out there. And Oscar is kind of, he's not playing his usual role in that film. And it's got a really creepy ending. And I keep waiting for part two of that, or the sequel to that film. That was a pretty horrifying film. 813-239-9663. Let's go to Mary in Odessa. Hi, Mary. You're on WMNF. What would you like to say?
Hi, Rob. I just wanted to comment on your caller who left the message about, the kind of the one-sidedness of the station, she felt. At the risk of sounding a little whiny myself, I think she has a point. I, though, am a Democrat, and I do enjoy a lot of the viewpoints that you do air, but I do find it sometimes a little bit overwhelming. So I do wish people like her and other people would tell me why they feel the way they do and what they believe in so that we can hear all viewpoints. That's it.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think people should have a fair hearing. I think, though, if somebody says something really goofy or untrue, it ought to be challenged.
Yeah.
And we should try to do our best to challenge things that are not factual. But, yeah, I think everybody should be able to call in. I think that's the idea of this station is that we felt when we were building WMNF, we were listening, and it was back in the day where there were all these right-wing hosts on radio, David Gold and others were here in town, and we just thought that environmentalists, feminists, progressives, peace activists, they were all being denied access to the airwaves. We couldn't find a radio station here in town that featured those voices. So that's why we built MNF, to create a safe place.
That's the great part about it, and I hope it stays that way, because it really is a great haven for the other side, the other views.
Yeah. All right, Mary, thanks a lot.
Sure.
All right. A bunch of emails have come in. A lot of people want to see that Slaughterbots video. I'll forward it to you. Might take me a few minutes because I think there's 30 or 40 or 50 people who've requested a copy of it. Here's an email from the 941 area code who says, I'd like to respond to David. I feel exactly the opposite. I'm so glad that young Republican woman listens to our radio station. I welcome her and respect her and want her to try very hard to listen to the news on our station. I watch the Sunday morning TV shows and feel the same way each time. In fact, I encourage her to call in and voice her opinions to Rob so we can begin a discussion. It's very important, writes 941. And Tony writes from St. Pete. He says, in much of this country, certainly including the Tampa Bay area, there are no AM radio stations except far right-wing leaning stations. This is what countless contractors, pool guys, delivery people listen to constantly without any other point of view other than Hannity and Limbaugh, etc. So Tony's saying that there is a need for a radio station like WMNF. Tony, thank you so much for that. 813-239-9663. We've got an open line. You're going to get on the show if you call right now. Let's go to Dan in St. Pete. Hi, Dan. What would you like to say?
Hey, good morning, Rob. Good show and stuff. We can face it. I mean, WMNF's a left-leaning radio station, and there's 50 right-leaning TVs and radio stations. I mean, Greg Kot comes on, and there's no question that he's far left. He calls emergencies when Trump does something. It's just the way it is. And the music's great, but you guys have put a lot more talk shows on recently when you did all your analysis. Well, what do you want to hear, music or talk? And talk's dominating the air. But with that, you get a lot of cool things like the drone thing and everything else. What I wanted to talk about is this Medicaid thing I heard on the radio this morning, that if these states are going to go, if you collect Medicaid, you better get your butt working, doing volunteer work, or, doing something. If you're going to collect Medicaid, we want you to produce. And I kind of like that movement. So some of these things Republicans are doing are good.
We got to do a show about this because my understanding is that a lot of people on Medicaid are actually working poor. They're working, or if they're not working, it's because they're disabled or they're children. So I think everybody would agree that if you're able-bodied, it'd be great for you to have a job. Let's have full employment. But I think what the Republicans are trying to say and what they get wrong is that a lot of people who are on public assistance are working, and their wages are so low or they're only working part-time that they have to go on Medicaid. And frankly, I need to bring on an expert who can talk about it, Dan, because you may be right.
I agree with you, Rob. I mean, think about it. $10 to 11, you're still going to be poor.
Right.
But at least you're out there moving around and not being a slug.
Yeah, and I would be surprised if there's many people who are on Medicaid who are not already working or have some other good excuse for not working.
I hear you. They say half of them in Michigan are already working and they're on Medicaid. It's just the freebies we give encourage people not to do anything is kind of what.
I think that might have been true maybe years ago. I don't think that's true now. There's a cutoff on what we used to call welfare. There are work requirements for practically everything. If there are people who are just lazing around who are able-bodied, who are getting full benefits, and it would be easy for an investigative reporter from Fox News to find those people. And so far, Fox hasn't found them.
All right, yeah. Have a good one.
All right, Dan, thanks a lot. Great to hear from you. Let's go to Bob in Oldsmar. Hi, Bob, you're on WMNF. What would you like to say?
Yeah, good afternoon.
Good morning.
Good morning still. I whenever I hear someone bash Republicans, now I always say this when I call the show, I am I don't go to either party, but right now I'm on the Republican side. And he said, how can we, be blind and enemy of the people? And, Hillary did get caught with, on security on her own server. That was a crime, and she didn't get any punishment. And I'm not sitting here saying she should be in jail, but there is a double standard. The insurance policy. Now, someone who is, far left isn't going to see that. I look at all sides. I watch all news, and I've got to turn CNN off sometimes because it's but it is an unbelievable attack on our president. And give him a chance. He has done some good things. And I wonder if we've had this, if the economy would be this good with Hillary. Like, she never gave any, I never knew what her stance on anything was other than she wasn't Trump. And I've done a lot for women and children. She's been rocked with her share of scandals.
Yeah, I agree with that last part. I don't think the Democrats as a whole have given up on those of us that go to work every day and have to make a living and essentially live paycheck to paycheck. I think the Democrats haven't spoken about that enough. In fact, when Vice President Joe Biden was on this radio show 2 years ago during the campaign or a year and a half ago during the campaign, I asked him that question. I said, what have you done for working people? Have you talked enough about working people? And I think he was pretty honest in his answer. He said, no, I don't think we have. And that was before, that was September of 2016. So, I think that if the Democrats want to win, they have to reconnect with all of us that live paycheck to paycheck. We don't have a pension. There's no guaranteed pension for most of us. Our health care premiums are so high. Our health care deductible is $5,000 or, whatever it is, dollars a year. College is so expensive. If we have kids in college, many are up to their necks in debt. These are the issues that Democrats have to talk about. They have to talk about health care. The health care system is not fixed. We spend more per capita as American citizens than do Canadians, and Canadians cover everybody. And here in the U.S., we still have 30 or 40 million Americans who have no health care coverage. And you can still go broke here in the U.S. by trying to pay for all your health care needs. I mean, we have not fixed the problems. And I think because President Trump claimed to be an ally of workers, that was one of the reasons he won. And that's why Democrats have to reconnect.
Yeah, and they haven't proven anything to impeach. I mean, that's their stance. Is what I want to see them, what they're going to do to get back. Not like, this guy's no good. That's not a running, that's not the issues. What are your issues? They haven't proved collusion. The other guy, he knows he's guilty.
Well, I got to say, Bob, that investigation doesn't look good. I mean, what I would suggest is look at the front page of USA Today. And look at all these shady companies that have bought real estate from Donald Trump. I mean, something doesn't smell right. And I'm going to try to grab the USA Today cover story today because it is a powerful story about Trump and real estate.
Hillary Clinton, they started this, the DNC, with this.
Well, Bob, it was Republicans that started it. It was a conservative website in Washington, D.C. that went to this GPS fusion organization and said, we want to get some stuff. We want you to do a background investigation of Donald Trump. It was a Republican-leaning website. And so then they turned it over. They turned it over to the Democrats. So I think Bob, I don't think you got that one straight. It started with the conservative website, not the Democrats.
Crime, really. It's not. And he didn't say he wouldn't meet with Mueller. I wouldn't do anything.
The quote is, President Trump said yesterday it seems unlikely that he'd give an interview to special counsel Robert Mueller. Hey, Bob, I got to go.
All right.
Thanks a lot. Good to hear from you. I think we've got to try to be as factual as we can. 813-239-9663. Let's go to Blanny, who's in Tampa. Hi, Blanny. You're on WMNF. What would you like to say?
Yeah, hey, Rob. I wanted to talk about the drones, but I just wanted to make a quick comment. You were talking about the cost of medicine. I had a surgery back in 2013, and I had very good, very expensive insurance. But with all the co-pays and the deductibles, I'm still paying it. I have one more year to pay off that surgery. If I was in Canada, it would have been zero. So just to mention that. But I wanted to talk, in a way, it doesn't concern me as much about these drones as much as people who feel that this is an okay thing to do. I want to give an example. I had somebody who came into my work about two or three days ago, and he's going into the military, and I asked, well, military can be good. You can get some sort of training. What do you want to go into? And he told me, well, I want to be the person who operates the equipment that shoots at people.
The drones.
I mean, that's what he wants to do for a living. So yeah. Basically, he probably wants to be somebody who is operating these drones or other pieces of... So I just kind of looked at him and said, do you want to operate equipment that kills people? And he said, yeah, I think it would be cool.
Total lack of conscience when it comes to killing people.
I think equipment like this and just where we're going with... some of the game playing that that people play, that we have dehumanized humans. They're just, items in a game. And that's my thought.
Yeah. All right, Blanny. Thanks a lot. I think we are dehumanizing, and it's not a big leap to go from playing some of these video games to flying drones and killing people by remote control. Blanny, thanks a lot.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Great to hear from you. And let's go to John in Port Richey. Hey, John, you're on WMNF. What would you like to say?
Hey, thanks for the show, Rob. Couple of things. The tax cut in Walmart. I'm just wondering if Walmart did this because of the push for the $10 an hour that's been going down for a while. But even more importantly, the fact that the president mentioned that this tax cut would increase spending by businesses. So maybe they're kind of going along with the Republican Party so they make the Republican Party look better so that way they can get more what they want through the Republican Party. So I don't know if they would have done that.
Yeah, there is a
in their pocket.
There is a fight for 15 out there, and that is the activists who've been on this show about half dozen times say that $8 an hour, $9 an hour, $10 an hour is not sufficient to operate a household. And they want $15. So yeah, I'm sure Walmart is feeling some of the pressure. They gave their workers a $1 an hour increase, or say they will. That means an extra $40 a week. That's good. But once you pay taxes and all that at the end of the month, you might have an extra $120 or $140. And let's hope that really does something for somebody.
Well, the other thing, too, is I'm wondering if Simon is going to give his patients a break on their price because of this tax break, follow suit like Walmart. And the other thing, I want to make a comment about the young lady that called up. I'm glad she's listening, too. I try to listen to right-wing radio because I just want to hear a broad view of stuff. But you said WMNF is more about ideals and not party. And I think that the... when I think about a progressive view versus a conservative view, I think about a progressive view as a democracy that depends on citizens caring about each other and taking responsibility for themselves and others, or conservative view, I think that democracy exists to provide the citizens with the maximum liberty to pursue their self-interest with little or no commitment to the interest of others, like the young lady that called up about her health care thing. Those companies don't care if she's got to pay that off for 2 or 3 years or 5 years or however. They don't care if they go in debt and go bankrupt. All they care about is making their profit. And I think WMNF leans more towards the progressive view, which I think gives people that impression that you guys are more, quote, democratic, unquote, or on the Democrat side versus the Republican. But like you said, I've heard you guys criticize Obama, and I've heard you guys criticize Democrats. When they do things wrong, you guys call them out. Thanks.
All right, John, thanks. Thanks for your comments. Well said. Let's go to Mary in Bradenton. Hi, Mary. You're on WMNF. What would you like to say?
This is John in Bradenton.
Oh, I'm sorry. John in Bradenton. All right, John, what's up?
Hey, it's okay. I'll make it quick. The woman, the two actually now that have called that trying to straighten out what's fair and what isn't fair. I wonder how many times she's called other radio stations or Fox News and said, you know, that everything that's got Obama's name on it, this guy's railroading to get him out of the history books. Or I wonder, you know, like what her opinion is about the fact that the Republicans railroaded $1.4 trillion out of all of our pockets, and that it's going to be much more, of course. And so, and if she's got a gripe, I think that then she should come forward, and what she should have said is that she doesn't believe any of those 16 women that don't know each other that claim Trump was sexually harassed them. Well, you know, either she believes it or she doesn't. If she does believe him, then I tell her, yeah, and you can take. I'll tell you where you can take your opinion, because Trump is God. He's in. We're allowed to criticize because he's the one sitting in the seat. He's the one who's put a target on himself. He didn't drain the swamp. He didn't do anything. I think I saw something yesterday or the day before where they've counted just like maybe 2,000 or 1,200 lies that he's perpetrated.
Well, he's up to 2,000. He's up to officially 2,000. I was going to play the Jimmy Kimmel bit, which is very funny, about Trump reaching that milestone.
And then ironically, this is him, man. He comes back and says he wants legislation that goes after people who lie. I mean, you know, somebody who turned off the alarm?
All right, John.
Anyway, I think that this isn't a tit for tat. This isn't a 50-50 on it. This guy's put these targets on. He's undermined all of our pockets, our futures, and a lot more. What she should do is call and offer some explanations to why we should tolerate what he's doing.
All right, John, thanks a lot. Thank you for calling. Let's go to Anonymous in Tampa, who says she's anonymous because she works for the Corps. Anonymous, is that you?
Yes, and that isn't what I said. I am going to speak about a corporation that I worked for.
Okay.
I worked for HCA, the one that Rick Scott owned.
Yeah, the hospital company, yeah.
Right. And their policy is to systematically eliminate people who increase pay so that they're making too much and hire people at lower wages. And they also, I did the Medicaid claims for their hospital. All of the employees who were not in management positions were on Medicaid because they did not pay a living wage, nor did they ever intend.
And they didn't provide health insurance for their employees.
Well, they did provide health insurance, but what they did, it cost me $5,000 out of pocket for a surgery because they changed their insurance. I was with them for 7 years. They changed their insurance so that you were required to go to an HCA facility, which I thought was illegal, and that your deductible was unaffordable. And the deductible is determined between the corporation and the insurance company. The corporations determine what deductibles their patients, their employees will pay. And this is what's systematically going on in
Is HCA still doing all this? Do you think HCA is still doing all this?
Oh, they definitely are. They're under the name of Parallon now.
Mm-hmm.
I also worked for Humana.
How could, if an investigative reporter for a newspaper is listening right now, how could they begin to unravel that? And we just have 20 seconds.
Well, they got to talk to people that worked for them. They eliminated another lady I worked with before she was 65, so she did not get the benefits that she would have gotten had she worked to 65.
All right.
They systematically eliminate people when they are on the verge of making a little bit of money.
All right.
Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you, Anonymous, and please call back and tell us more. We're at the end of the show. If you want to comment about today's show, please call us up at 813-238-8001 and record your comment about this show on extension 115. I'll play that comment back tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock. Stay tuned for Midpoint with Mitch Perry. This is